I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game.
I'm perturbed.
Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Hammond, Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
And here we go.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, your boy Chris Espo. With me as always, Will Sweeney and Super Producer Joe C.
That's me.
Good morning.
We're exclusively on morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio.
And you can also find us on the TuneIn app. Still download it on your smartphone.
Yes. I just flew into New York, and boy, are my wings tired. Done.
Oh, God, that's bad.
I'll save the terrible jokes for Joe.
That's me, yeah.
But, yeah. But you had some delicious steaks, so good for you.
I certainly did, and in about, 10 o'clock Eastern time?
7 hours, you're out of here again?
Oh, yeah, 7 hours. I will be in LaGuardia on another flight back to Omaha.
But, yay.
It's nothing football-related, football fans. I just felt like pontificating for a second.
They don't have a pro team in Omaha.
No, but they are a huge college town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you need, because where I am in Omaha is right on the Iowa border, And you need to choose your words wisely with what team you pick, because Omaha shares a border with Council Bluffs, Iowa,
right?
And that's Iowa State Cyclone country.
Yes, oh, yeah.
If you say go Hawkeyes, you're gonna have four flat tires, basically.
Nice.
And
real nice.
On Saturdays, they said that the drive from Omaha to Lincoln is like an hour.
Wow.
They said on Saturdays it's about 4 hours because people trying to get to Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska Stadium for the game for the Cornhuskers. So,
okay.
Anyway, week two in the NFL is upon us. We had a game on Thursday night. My Jets, Jets put up a valiant effort.
They did.
Covered the spread. Thank you. That spread was astronomical. It was 12.5. I knew that wasn't going to happen.
That's a little crazy.
Especially with the way the Patriots, I'm sorry to use the terminology, but shit the bed against Buffalo. They won, but it was an ugly win.
Yeah, you know, I'm really kind of concerned about the Patriots right now, to be honest with you.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do I still think they win the AFC East? Yes. I think they are still the best team in the AFC East. But Tom Brady is looking, you're seeing something out of Tom Brady you haven't seen pretty much ever. And that's him showing his frustration on the field.
I have a one-word answer for that: age.
Okay.
He's getting up there.
He is. As far as quarterbacks are concerned, he's old.
He doesn't have enough tools around him.
I think that's what's getting him. I mean, his top receiver is supposed to be Danny Amendola, and as predicted, out injured already.
Yeah, and we had said that on the show ad nauseum about if Amendola is healthy. Amendola's Welker, Diet Welker.
Right.
Okay. He's not healthy, as we see now. He's brittle. He hurts. And I don't understand the thought process in New England. Maybe they're trying to save money, and maybe they knew about the whole Kembrell Tompkins thing. Kembrell Tompkins looks fantastic. He just has to grow and mature.
Right.
And he's not there yet. They needed, if they would have kept a Welker to kind of nurture Kembrell Tompkins, even though they're two different style wide receivers, Wes Welker is the slot, Kembrell Tompkins is your home run hitter, you could have just added another dimension to Kembrell Tompkins' game. He could have been the home run hitter with slot receiver skills, a la Victor Cruz.
Okay.
Could have been well, could have done well, but lo and behold, they don't have him, so... And Stephen Ridley is, I think Stephen Ridley is the one who went down last week during the Jet game. He's banged up. They don't look good. The defense looks good.
Right.
Surprisingly, it's a flip-flop now because usually the defense is terrible. And the offense looks fantastic.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Now, I'm just looking at the stats. Tom Brady, 19 of 39 for 185 yards and a touchdown. That's not Tom Brady numbers.
No, that's 20 incomplete passes. Now, take those 20 incomplete passes, maybe there was five drops. Okay, so he would have been 24 of 39. That's still not Tom Brady numbers.
Absolutely not. And we look at Geno Smith. Geno Smith, again, 20 incomplete passes. Well, I want to say 17 incomplete passes because he had three interceptions. But 15 of 35 for 214 yards. So, minus the interceptions, Geno Smith really kind of outplayed him.
Geno Smith looked good. I watched the game from my hotel room. I made sure that after the business dinner, I was like, oh, geez, look at the time. I got to go. Jet game. Sorry, you guys don't know anything about that. But I watched him, and he's smart. He's starting to grow. He's not there yet by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I have some things with Geno Smith, but after you make your point, go ahead.
I could see this year is a wash, is a complete throwaway year for Geno. For the team itself, not for Geno. Geno needs this year to learn.
Yes.
He needs to see NFL defenses. He needs to see blitz packages. He needs to see different types of schemes. But if everything goes chalk, like they like to say, and Marty Morningwig is still the offensive coordinator next year with whoever gets brought in, and he can run this West Coast offense, it's very similar to what he had at West Virginia.
Right.
So I could see how that would work.
The one issue I have with Geno Smith, and it's something that he's going to work through because he basically has to, he takes too much time to throw the ball. I didn't get to watch much of the game, but in the highlights that I saw, he had open receivers. He wasn't getting to them.
Right.
He was taking too long to throw the ball. Your offensive line is really only meant to protect you for about 7 seconds tops.
Right.
Absolute top end. You should be getting that ball out between 3 and 5 seconds. You had receivers open. You could have hit them while they were moving, and you're not doing it. You gotta hit those guys. You can't look for the deep route all the time. Sometimes you have to check down to the short route and just take the 5 yard pass.
Right.
And it's something he's not doing. It's something he's going to develop. He's got to work on it, obviously. It's his first season. He's only had 2 starts under his belt. He will get it. But it's something that if the Jets are going to be successful at all this season, which I just don't think they're going to be that successful, he needs to start doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even add anything to that. You're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. I want to see, as a fan, I'll take my reporter hat off and put my Jets fitted on. I want to see, I'm okay with the first 2 games. I knew they were going to lose to New England.
Right.
I just didn't know how bad they were going to lose.
Right. And they were surprisingly played well against them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say, they played well, but also New England didn't really perform up to their standards.
Right. So then there's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors thing. How good is the Jets defense? They looked fantastic against Tampa Bay.
They're looking decent right now.
They're stout. They're very stout. And this is even without Quentin Copeland.
Right.
Who's been a little banged up. the one guy I'm a little worried about is D. Milliner. Milliner has looked bad.
Yeah.
Like burnt bad. Doesn't know where to stand, how to cover. He's better.
And Sexy Rexy actually benched him during the New England game.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely. Rex,
John Itzik has taken away a lot of the power of Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan right now is a puppet. And rightfully so. You get your mouth in trouble that many times. You keep putting your foot in it.
Right.
You deserve it.
Yep.
So now that Rex can't be that vibrato, boisterous pain in the ass, he's coaching. And he's got his hand in the defense more than ever before. And he's a defensive-minded coach.
Absolutely, which is part of the reason I think the Jets' defense is actually looking better.
Yes. Get away from the offense. Stop. Put it down. You know, drop it. Come back with us for your defense. And Milliner looks terrible.
Yep.
Terrible.
So, just a couple other stats from the New England Jets game. Chris Ivory, 12 attempts for 52 yards rushing. Bilal Powell, 13 attempts for 48 yards rushing. Geno Smith with 17 yards rushing. Heading over to New England, Stephen Ridley, 40 yards rushing on 16 attempts.
Kudos to the Jets defense.
Yeah.
That's all you can say.
I mean, I'm looking at the rushing stats total for the Patriots. Stephen Ridley with 40 yards, LeGarrette Blount with 11, Julian Edelman with 4, Leon Washington with one. So that's 51, 55, 56 yards rushing total and negative two for Tom Brady. So we'll say 54 yards total. Chris Ivory pretty much had that alone. So
I've been pleasantly surprised with the way Chris Ivory's run the rock. I'm okay with the way he's done. I'm actually very anxious to see Mike Goodson come back in week five.
Yeah.
And see if he can step in. And I'll throw away week five because he's suspended for the first 4 weeks. He needs that 1 week of play-in.
Sure.
Week six will be big for him.
Yep. And then receiving stats, Stephen Hill, 4 receptions, 86 yards for the Jets. Santonio Holmes, 3 for 51. Kellen Winslow, 3 for 16. Edmund Gates, 2 catches, 42 yards. Who's that?
Edmund Gates?
Yeah.
I thought his name was Clyde Gates.
Apparently it's
He's number 19. He's got dreadlocks. He's also on kick returns.
All right.
They kind of went piecemeal with the receiving core this year. And I see why. Santonio's not going to be there next year.
Right.
I know that. If I can give you three guys that will not be there, I have two definites, one maybe. Two definites, Sanchez, Santonio, gone.
Right.
They will probably won't even be in the same conference. Okay, that's how much they hate each other. And again, like we touched on last week, look at Santonio playing and laying out for a guy like Geno Smith when he would have been like, ooh, my foot, I can't this year.
Yeah.
The one guy that's on the fence right now, and it's all dependent upon, and before the season started, I was like, no, it was Rex Ryan.
Yeah. We got to see what Rex Ryan does. I mean, Rex Ryan could work his way off the hot seat this season. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's a possibility. All right, so let's go to the games that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm actually looking on the Facebook page. I'm trying to find facebook.com/tattoos and touchdowns. I'm trying to find the pick'em from last week. I can't find it.
That was it's actually on the drive.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
If you want it's Yay. I never changed the thing.
That's okay.
But Tennessee Titans beating up on the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-9.
Yeah. Dude,
what happened?
You're at a point where you just like I don't know.
And I'm just looking at it. Neither quarterback did anything phenomenal. Roethlisberger 21 of 33 for 191 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Jake Locker 11 of 20 for 125 yards.
And shout out to Joe C, who was the only one of the Pros versus Joe crew that picked Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Well, you know what can I say?
Yeah, you ringer.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
A Titan can bench steal. But and even like the rushing stats for both teams. Chris Johnson led all rushers with 70 yards for the Tennessee Titans.
On how many carries?
25.
That's terrible.
That's horrible. It's just under 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You want to be getting 3 to 5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Jackie Battle 8 rushes for 21 yards. Sean Green, hey. Four rushes for 18 yards.
Well, Jackie Battle beat Sean Green out for the number two spot. And Jackie Battle's a good inside the five rusher.
Right.
Chris Johnson just doesn't have it anymore. I'm sorry.
No.
He's a waste.
Yep.
He had a great season. Again, I like there's a body type for running backs, and he's not that body type. Him and Jamal Charles. And Jamal Charles is good, but I just don't like that body type. He's too thin.
Yep. For the Steelers, LaRod Stevens Howling, 6 rushes for 19 yards. He's their starting running back.
And he really wasn't supposed to be. Isaac Redman was supposed to be the starter, and I don't know why Stevens Howling got the more carries, I think, like by one or two.
No, actually, Redman had more carries, 8 rushes for 9 yards.
Wow. You get to a point. How many times did Roethlisberger throw the ball?
Total 33, completed 21.
So 33 passes. And you figure another four. They only had the ball. They lost the time of possession battle. That's the big thing.
Miserably.
And they were down like 7-2 at some point.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even, like it was a terrible game on both ends.
Yeah.
And I said this before, the Steelers are a rebuild project and no one wants to say it in Pittsburgh town, but it's the truth.
Yeah. What's baffling me is the fact that the Tennessee Titans receiving core was miserable. Their leading receiver was Nate Washington, 46 yards. Delanie Walker had 40 yards. And then we're going to shoot down to Kenny Britt, 15. The Steelers, Emmanuel Sanders was the leading receiver. I'm sorry, Antonio Brown was the leading receiver for them with 71 yards. Emmanuel Sanders had 57. And Jericho Cotchery, 34.
Yeah, I have Emmanuel Sanders on my fantasy team. He actually got me some decent points this week. Only because it was a PPR league and he had 7 touches.
Right.
Yeah, they have nothing, man. They really do. Like, they entrusted so much stock in Le'Veon Bell, the rookie running back, and now he's hurt, so they don't know when he's coming back.
Right.
They don't have anything, and they can't compete in that division. That division just got better. Yeah. Everybody around them got better.
Yep, absolutely. Shooting over, let's look at the Dolphins beat the Browns 23-10. That's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, again, that's Cleveland. Every year we're so high on the hog on Cleveland. They look better. This is going to be great. Brandon Whedon looks better. The offense looks good, and then they do this.
Brandon Whedon, 26 of 53. For 289 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions.
Anytime you have Brandon Whedon and the number 53 on attempts, you're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, 3 interceptions.
He was playing from behind a lot of that game, too.
Right.
Miami came out fierce. I mean, Mike Wallace was a crybaby, but Miami came out fierce.
Absolutely. And then you look at Ryan Tannehill, 24 of 38 for 272 yards.
Serviceable. Serviceable. He did what he was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
How was the running game for Miami?
The running game for Miami, let's see. Daniel Thomas. It was non-existent. Daniel Thomas, 8 rushes for 14 yards. Lamar Miller, 10 rushes for 3 yards. Tannehill, 5 rushes for 3 yards.
So Tannehill had just as many yards as Lamar Miller. It's a shame.
Right.
It's
and
a shame.
You look at the Browns, Trent Richardson, 13 attempts, 47 yards. That's not what Trent Richardson's supposed to do.
No.
He's supposed to be having much bigger numbers than that.
Yeah, Again, week one is the hardest week to cover, to handicap, to pick, even on a regular pick'em. It's the hardest week to do because you don't know what you're going to get.
You know, for me, it's the first month of the season because everybody's still kind of coming into their own. You're going to find out who's real and who's not.
Right. No, I agree. I agree, 100%.
You look at the receiving stats for Miami, Brian Hartline, 114 yards on a touchdown. Brandon Gibson, 77 yards. Head down to the Browns. Jordan Cameron, 108 yards on a touchdown. And then this is a dramatic fall off with Devon Bess, 47 yards. Trent Richardson had a couple grabs for 30 yards. You know, nothing terribly outstanding.
And you shouldn't be using Trent Richardson as a dual threat in the backfield. With a guy like Brandon Whedon as your quarterback, you string him out too much on a screen pass or a little swing pass. Someone decides they want to, you know, they want to hike up their balls a little bit and they want to lay somebody out. You don't want to lay out your future Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Patriots edged out the Bills 23-21.
We all had the Patriots. I'm sorry.
Bears edge out the Bengals 24-21.
I had that game.
Yeah.
I had that game. And the Bears were giving 2.5 in that game. And I took the Bears giving the points.
Yeah.
And I wound up squeaking by on that one.
That's big game for Andy Dalton. As the win for himself, you know. Let's take a quick look. I just lost the stats. There it is. Andy Dalton, 26 of 33 for 282 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks.
He's got to calm down the picks. I mean, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. The Dalton in the loss was serviceable. Looking at it, they may be a first-place team in that division because the way Baltimore played. Yeah.
Yeah, but Baltimore, well, I mean, they got beat up on by the Broncos.
Look at Joe on the case with a little. Look at you with a cough drop. Thank you, sir.
Oh, fantastic! Joe's always looking out. That's why we love Joe.
Joe's got candy.
For the Bears, Jay Cutler, 21 of 33, 242 yards, 2 TDs and a pick. Not bad.
How did Brandon Marshall look in that game? That's the one I want to look at.
Brandon Marshall, 8 grabs, 104 yards, and a touchdown.
That Cutler to Marshall relationship is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The running game pretty much non-existent for both teams. Leading rusher for the Bengals was the law firm Benjarvis Green Ellis, 14 grabs for 25 yards. And Matt Forte, leading rusher for the Bears, 19 attempts for 50 yards. Both of them had a touchdown, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fully expecting Michael Bush to get that touchdown for the Bears because I had him starting for me, but no, they're going to use Matt Forte.
Bengals, by the way, A.J. Green, monster game. 9 grabs, 162 yards, 2 touchdowns.
He is probably in the top 3 of best wide receivers in the league right now.
That's very good. Tyler Eifert had a decent game, 5 grabs for 47 yards at the tight end position.
Yeah,
they're going to start working him into the offense. And we said it, that Tyler Eifert's actually going to be kind of a sleeper in the tight end position.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to be Andy Dalton's safety net.
Mm-hmm. So Jermaine Gresham is going to be phased out, and Tyler Eifert's going to be that guy. Tyler Eifert can actually get up and get the jump ball where Jermaine Gresham can't.
Right, right. So as we move on, Seahawks, not very impressive against the Panthers. They won 12-7.
Again, the Panthers have a good defense. They do. They have a very good defense. They have no secondary, but they have a very good front seven.
I mean, you look at Russell Wilson's number, 25 of 33 for 320 yards and a touchdown. Not a bad day.
No, great numbers, but he's a dink and dunk guy.
Right.
His numbers are very deceiving. That's why if you're in a points per completion league, which I've been in before, the one of the leagues I'm in now is you get a 0.25 point of a point per completion. Okay. So every four completions is a point.
Point, right.
You want a guy like that.
Okay.
He's going to dink and dunk all over the place. You'll get your yards eventually. Someone will turn one upfield. But
sure.
He did that all last year. He mixed in being super accurate on 5 and 10 yard passes and ran the ball effectively.
Yeah. Cam Newton, very, not even, I won't even say pedestrian, awful game. 16 of 23 for 125 yards and a touchdown. No bueno. Heading over to the rushing stats, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, 17 attempts for 43 yards.
Yeah, the rushing numbers the first week were horrendous. Horrendous.
D'Angelo Williams outperformed him with 16 rushes for 76 yards for the Panthers.
D'Angelo Williams is whoever drafted him in late rounds, knowing full well that Jonathan Stewart wasn't going to be able to run. Smart move.
Absolutely. The receiving battle for the Seahawks, Doug Baldwin, 7 catches for 91 yards. Jermaine Kearse, 2 grabs, 49 yards on a touchdown. Golden Tate, 4 grabs, 51 yards. Heading over to the Panthers. Steve Smith, 6 for 51. Greg Olsen, 5 for 56. Steve Smith had a touchdown in this game. Nothing terribly impressive in that at all.
No, it was.
Except for Russell Wilson's numbers.
It was boring. It was boring. When they were flipping over to that to on red zone, I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, it was exciting because it's a one-possession game and it's defensive, but in the land of throwing now, throw first, run later, you kind of see that on some of these numbers.
Right.
Throw first. Yeah, shoot first, ask questions next. After.
That's it. Kansas City Chiefs annihilate the future London Jaguars 28-2. Should we even bother talking about this game?
Yes. Andy Reid is, I understand it's against Jacksonville. Andy Reid is a damn genius. He was good in Philly, and people just hated him.
Right.
He's good now, and again, the Alex Smith connection that he wanted him when he was in Philly, it shows. What was Alex Smith's numbers?
Pedestrian at best. 21 of 34, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Didn't turn the ball over.
No, he didn't.
I'll take 173 yards every game if you're not turning the ball over.
And you're going to win 28-2, absolutely. Alex Smith also had 25 rushing yards on 4 attempts. Heading over to the Jaguars, Blaine Gabbert, 16 of 35 for 121 yards. Chad Henne also saw some action. Three completions out of 6 attempts, 36 yards.
Terrible.
You know, Blaine Gabbert also had 2 picks in the game. Rushing yards, Jamaal Charles led the Chiefs, 77 yards on 16 attempts. Heading over to the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew, 45 yards on 15 attempts.
You know what? I'm starting to see a trend, and go with me on this one for a second. When you have a pitcher and it's their first start of the season coming right out of spring training, 5 innings, 6 innings, all right, shut him down.
Sure.
Shut him down. I'm starting to see that a lot with the number one running backs. Jamaal Charles, 15 attempts, 16 attempts. Okay, come out. You got your 16. I could see them ramping up this week a little more.
I don't like that strategy.
I hate
because
it.
This is the NFL and every game counts.
Absolutely.
You can't be playing this game. Running over to the receiving numbers, nobody stands out. Anthony Sherman for the Chiefs was the leading receiver in the game. 4 grabs for 44 yards. Dwayne Bowe, 4 grabs for 30 yards. Touchdown went to Donnie Avery, who had 2 grabs for 11 yards. Heading over to the Jaguars, Justin Forsett, 4 grabs for 22 yards. The leading receiver for them was Cecil Shorts, with 3 grabs for 40 yards.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen. Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon are their only two viable options.
Yep. the Bucks and the Jets. Jets edged out the Bucks 18-17 in a heart-stopping game.
Game of the week. Game of the week.
Yeah, I could. You could.
The only other game that came close, and we'll get to it in a little bit, is the Houston San Diego game on Monday night.
Right.
But I felt the Jets were going to win the game. I didn't think they were going to win the game, but you know, as a Jet fan, it's in your gut. Like, hey, right, we got a shot.
There's two things that pretty much almost guarantee you a loss every time. More than two turnovers in a game, and 13 penalties, and that's what happened with the Bucks. The Bucks had 13 penalties, a lot of big ones too. They had a lot of personal foul penalties, 15 yarders.
Well, without the personal foul penalty on Geno Smith at the end of the game, we don't get into field goal range.
Absolutely.
Geno Smith, it's smoke and mirrors again. He managed the clock, but he didn't manage it well enough that without that penalty, you don't win that game.
Pretty much. Colts edge out the Raiders 21-17. Saints beat the Falcons 23-17. Lions beat up on the Vikings 34-24. Rams edge out the Cardinals 27-24.
Yeah, that game hurt.
Yeah.
Rams, you had the Rams.
Right.
Me and Joe had the Cardinals.
Woohoo. I almost look like a genius for that. 49ers beat out the Packers 34-28.
Good.
We all know how Joe feels about the Packers.
A bunch of fags.
But there was some controversy in that game with the late hit on Colin Kaepernick by Clay Matthews.
Get over it already.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah, enough, exactly. Enough.
The most disappointing game of the week for me, Cowboys beat out the Giants 36-31. Giants just came out looking terrible.
Eli looked horrendous.
You know, Eli had three interceptions. One of them just shouldn't have happened. Darrell Scott just didn't turn around soon enough and couldn't handle the pass. That was at the end of the game that really solidified the win for the Cowboys. But the one thing I have to say, too, neither team came out looking very good.
No.
When the Giants could turn the ball over six times in a game and you only put up 36 points, you should be blowing them out at that point. The first three possessions of the game, Eli Manning had two interceptions, and David Wilson put the ball on the ground once. He wound up putting the ball on the ground twice in this game.
And then didn't see the light of day.
Right, which is Tom Coughlin's MO, and he needs to step up, which is why the Giants have picked up Brandon Jacobs. He's going to get some goal line carries.
I don't like him. I don't like that signing. I would have went with Michael Turner. They didn't even think about Michael Turner.
No, they worked out Willis McGahee, Joe McKnight, and Brandon Jacobs. And let's be honest, you're going to go with what you're familiar with. He knows the system. He knows the offense. You know?
All right.
It could benefit them. We have to wait and see. I wound up picking him up for my fantasy team.
Smart.
Why not?
If you're in a two running back league with a flex and you know Brandon Jacobs is going to get some goal line carries, you don't have anybody else at that flex position, throw him in. Maybe you get two touches and you get one touchdown. Hey.
If I get one touchdown and 20 yards out of him, I'm okay with it.
Absolutely.
I'm okay with it. But, yeah, neither team looking very good there. And then we're going to head over to the Eagles and Redskins. Eagles beat the Redskins out 33-27.
We all had the Redskins in that game.
Right. When we come back from break, I have a question for you about this game. But we're going to head over. San Diego Chargers lose out to the Texans 31-28.
Game of the week, besides the Jets game, San Diego was up 28-7. I was in the hotel room looking at it because I just landed and got into the hotel room for the second quarter. I missed the entire Philly-Washington game because bad flight, whatever. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, whoa. Like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
Like, San Diego came to play. And lo and behold, Houston comes storming back like, all right, we let you have enough.
well, didn't I pick Houston?
We all picked Houston.
Yeah.
So in the pros,
Cowboys,
the pros versus Joe segment for the first week, Joe has 1, 2, 3. Joe goes 3-2. Will goes 1, 2, 3-2, and Espo goes 1, 2, 2-3. So I am on the outside looking in after the first week of pros versus Joe.
Very unusual.
That's all
very
right.
Very unusual.
But
a lot of season left.
Right. Again, it's the early in the season, it's hard to pick games because you have teams that come out who was supposed to be god-awful, but they come out looking good in the first couple of weeks, yeah. and then they start to tail off.
And I'm sure everybody's dying to know before we go to break, in my $85,000 suicide pool, I took Indianapolis and squeaked out that win with Indy. And this week, I've never seen tougher games, but I'll get to my pick when we get back from break.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com. We will be back right after this.
Warning. Listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and or balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty, Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
You know Mary Magdalene was a whore.
Right.
Well, we had to do the whole, for Easter time, we did a play on, you know, the stages of the cross and all that shit. I was Mary Magdalene. Oh, my God.
Oh, you must have had your hand up for a month waiting to play that part.
Does that just freaking make the most sense in the world for me now?
Tune into Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
All right, we are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. Good morning, everybody.
Moaning.
Hey. So, like I said, I have a question for Chris about the Philadelphia Eagles-Washington Redskins game. The Chip Kelly offense looked fantastic early.
Oh, yeah, got the full duck. Quack, quack, quack.
Right, absolutely. We got the full duck, but by the end of the game, the duck wasn't there anymore. Is Michael Vick too old to run this fast-paced offense?
Yes. Short answer, yes. Can you pull up the stats, please, on that game? Cause
sure, give me a second.
Again, I was in flight as that game was going on. Listen, this just goes to show you that the guys that they drafted for this offense, the quarterback, namely in Matt Barkley, was a mistake. And I think that was more of a product of what's Chip Kelly going to bring to the table.
Okay.
I see next year the Eagles drafting another quarterback as Matt Barkley starts to venture into the realm of obscurity. If they're going to run this offense constantly, you're not running around with 20-year-old kids anymore.
Right.
You got – Vic is what, almost 32, 33?
Something like that, yeah.
He needs – if you're going to run this constantly, you're going to need a young, youthful quarterback. And
you need a Mike Vick of old.
Exactly. You need an RG3. You need honestly, what you need is Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel. I hate Johnny Manziel, but you need that. You need Teddy Bridgewater as a guy who can run, big arm. What was LeSean McCoy's numbers in this game?
LeSean McCoy, 31 attempts, 184 yards.
Yeah, buddy. And I drafted him in every single league because I knew what was going to happen. He's number one now on running back depth charts,
right,
like on the power rankings.
Yeah.
What did Vic do before he started to fizzle out?
Vic was total 15 of 25 for 203 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Weird.
Yeah.
But it was not. It was fast-paced. Keep it moving.
Right. RG3, 30 of 49 for 329 yards, 2 TDs and 2 picks.
Not bad for a guy who didn't play anything in the preseason.
But again, he was knocking rust off, and he got up slow a couple of times. I really think he should have played at least one or two games in the preseason. I think Shanahan kind of set himself up for failure.
Oh, yeah.
Early.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that. Leading rusher, obviously, LeSean McCoy. Washington Redskins. Go ahead.
What were the running numbers for the Redskins?
For the Redskins, Alfred Morris was the leading rusher, 12 attempts, 45 yards. Everything else, RG3 had 5 for 24.
Ooh, and what's not said before with Michael Vick is he also ran the ball 9 times for 54 yards, which completely goes into your thought of being too old for that, because old school Vick, Atlanta Falcons Vick, would have been the one with the 184 yards rushing, because he would have been like, nah, not only will I throw it, I'll put it in the air and I'll run towards the ball and catch the damn thing.
Right, exactly.
It's I couldn't agree with you more, and to answer your question, yes, he's too old to run that
offense. I agree
with
you. I absolutely agree
with you. Way
too old. He can't run the offense the entire game. He just can't.
Now, if you want to do a change of pace, he's not going to go for it because he wants to be the guy. And I said this last year when the Jets got Tebow. Why are you going to, if you have a quarterback in a rhythm, why are you going to pull him out to put in your change of pace quarterback?
Right.
Vic's not going to want to go for that, but if you want to go to a Nick Foles or a Matt Barkley as your change of pace pocket quarterback, you can, but he won't go for it.
It's not really conducive to the Chip Kelly offense.
No, not even a little bit.
But receiving stats, DeSean Jackson for the Eagles, 7 grabs, 104 yards. He had 1 touchdown. Brent Celek, 2 grabs for 56 yards with a touchdown. And the leading rusher for the Redskins was Leonard Hankerson, 5 grabs, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon showed up a little bit, 7 grabs for 64 yards. Santana Moss, 5 for 54. Other than that, nobody really stands out.
Right.
So that's basically the recap of week one. Let's move on
to week two.
You want to do the preview for week two? We can do that. What do you got?
All right, so the first game of the week, we're going to run through the 1 o'clock games first, go to the 4. Finally, there's 4 4 o'clock games, even though it doesn't matter for me. I'll be flying again. Jesus, I hate flying on Sundays. Anyway, first game of the week is San Diego at Philly. Philly is a 7-point favorite in that game. Now, this is not a pros versus Joe game. We'll get to those as they come down the list.
7 points. The Eagles are giving 7?
Yeah. Eagles are giving a touchdown. Eagles are home.
Nah. You know what? I think I'm going to give it to the Eagles. I think the Chip Kelly offense is going to kind of stymie the San Diego defense early, and that's what's going to be that's going to be the icing on the cake. You know, getting out early, the San Diego defense isn't that good. Is Manti Te'o even playing this game?
Not that I've heard. Okay. I think he's game time.
Game time decision?
Yeah,
so I'm going to pick the Eagles on that one. I think the Eagles could absolutely get a big enough lead that, you know, they're not going to have to worry much and take advantage of the poor San Diego defense.
Yeah, I'll take Philly. I'll take Philly all day this week. And I said Philly's going to surprise a lot of people this year. And the first week, they kind of did. You know, everybody thought they would, all of us thought they were dead and buried against Washington.
It's the Eagles are going to surprise people until people figure out the offense.
Right. And also,
if
the offense doesn't catch up to itself and be gassed before the season ends.
Right.
So that bye week is going to be big for them going forward. This is part of the pros versus Joe game. We have Cleveland at Baltimore. Now, we're not doing the spread in pros versus Joe. We're just doing the spread for our regular games. Baltimore is a 6.5-point favorite. Joe, who do you got? Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, the Browns, black people are very, Well, I'm going to go back. First of all, there's the M.T. Bank Stadium. Who the fuck does, and the tickets are very cheap, $54, which means nobody has an interest in this game.
You do realize they're in the home of the Super Bowl champions, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you say there's no interest for the Super Bowl champions?
Well, I don't know. I'm going by
it's their ring day, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, ring day, banner day, everything.
But anyway, Cleveland is going to win the game.
Ooh.
And they're going to win it big.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Baltimore is like, they peed it out.
Put that J right there. We really can't say anything because last week someone
that's,
was a
that's my upset
ringer.
Of the week, by the way.
Okay.
That's
Joe.
My,
all right.
And it's on CBS. So
Okay. Will?
I gotta go Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going Ravens.
I gotta go Ravens.
I'm going Ravens. Ravens. Okay. I'll go against Joey the Greek.
Oh. You guys will be sorry next week.
Seriously. Okay. I swear to God, if he wins another game against us, like a lock game for us, yeah, I'm giving up my microphone.
Well, you know, I have a strategy. It's I think they're gonna lose because I don't like the name of the stadium.
All right. And that makes all the difference.
It really does.
Normal, perfectly normal. I think Baltimore wins this game, covers. I think they win the game by about 14 points.
Oh, big man.
We got Tennessee traveling to Houston.
Yes.
Houston is an 8.5-point favorite in this game. I got Houston hands down. Houston trounces Tennessee.
I like what I saw out of Tennessee against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned with the way the defense played against San Diego for the Texans. Picking with the spread, I'm going to go Tennessee.
Okay.
Ooh.
But picking a straight-up winner, I'm picking Houston.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Moving right along
this
to...
Is not a Joe...
No, not a pros versus Joe game.
Okay, because I was going to best Houston, too. They're Cowboys. They're from Texas.
All right, Joe, perk up on this one. Okay. Lock of the week. Lock of the week. It's not a pros versus Joe game. Lock of the week. Miami going to Indianapolis. Oh. Indianapolis is favored by 2.5 points. Please take Indianapolis in this game.
Absolutely.
Well, I absolutely have to take it. No, I have to take Indianapolis because they're fish. Miami is fish. And then they're playing at the Lucas Oil Stadium, which means it's very greasy. And Indianapolis is going to win. Not big, by the way. Not big.
Which means the Dolphins are going to be weighed down because of all the oil.
Now, can you ask me one question? They have tickets available for $27. Why can't everybody have tickets available for $27?
Joe, I don't know.
Because, yeah, I really don't know.
It's going to... call StubHub. It's yelling.
StubHub.
Yeah, well, you know, like Kansas City has tickets available for $101 a ticket. I mean, God, I mean, you know, I can take my whole family to...
It's not just of the team that's playing, it's the team that they're playing.
Right.
Like, yeah, in the preseason game, I was able to, if I wanted to, the Jets were playing Jacksonville, perfect example, and the tickets were $5 a piece.
Right.
Wow.
There's a game, the Jets are playing Oakland later on in the season, tickets still to this day are $13 a piece.
Right.
You
so
see?
It's a product of who the team is playing more than anything else.
Pretty much.
But if either team gets hot all of a sudden and Terrell Pryor becomes the next big thing for Oakland, ticket prices go up.
Yep.
That's the way it is.
Supply and demand.
Exactly.
Basic economics.
I understand now.
So are we all in agreement that besides Joe's amazing thought, this is not a pros versus Joe game, but we all have Indy in this game?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, this is not pros Joe's?
No. But no. I like your input. That was phenomenal.
I wasted my pick.
No, you didn't.
No.
It's okay.
No, you still got four more.
Okay.
So we got Carolina. Traveling to Buffalo, Carolina is giving 3 points to Buffalo.
I got to be honest with you, man. I kind of like Buffalo.
Yeah.
I kind of like Buffalo. They look good against New England.
EJ Manuel looked fantastic. I'm with you on this one with Buffalo, 100%. Here is my game for my suicide pool. St. Louis at Atlanta. Atlanta's giving 5. Now, in the suicide pool, you don't have to pick points.
Okay.
I took Atlanta.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I took Atlanta for the suicide pool. I didn't see any other game because I already took Indy in week one, so I can't take them again the whole season.
Right.
I took Indy against Oakland. That was it.
Right.
I just think Atlanta was a pass away from tying the game up against New Orleans last week, which we didn't even touch on that game in the week ones.
Did I skip it, actually?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right.
New Orleans won by a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I just think that at home, they dominate.
Yeah.
They dominate. St. Louis looked suspect against Arizona.
They were undefeated at home last season, weren't they?
Atlanta? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Next game up is going to be Washington on the road in Green Bay. Green Bay giving 7 to Washington. Not a pros versus Joe game because I will not put any Green Bay games in this list because of somebody's biased back there.
I think Washington's going to kill them.
I'm taking Washington.
I have to if I'm picking with the spread, I'm picking Washington. But I think Green Bay wins the game overall.
How could you say that?
Get out of my studio.
I just think Green Bay is a better team, and I think RG3 is still going to be knocking some of that rust off.
Okay, fair. Listen, it's fair. Perfectly fair.
Green and gold.
Here is a pros versus Joe game, though. Dallas traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite against Dallas. I'm taking Dallas.
That's a very good bet because Dallas. First of all, they're playing at Arrowhead Stadium, which is like Indians, Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys. It's a lock, Dallas.
All right, me and Joe got Dallas. Will,
I'm taking Kansas City.
All right,
that's a bet the ranch game. Where do you get Kansas City from? I don't know.
Kansas City Chiefs. It's Cowboys and Indians. To go with your logic.
But the Cowboys always win.
To go with your logic, I think the Redskins are going to scalp the Cowboys.
Wow, what do you think this is? Custer's
They're not
nice
playing
thing?
Each other.
Huh?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Redskins aren't playing.
I'm sorry, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, they're Chiefs. So, are they Fire Chiefs?
No, they're Indian Chiefs.
Well, something works.
Awful. Anyway, okay, so Kansas City, Dallas. All right, we got that. Me
Arrowhead
and
Stadium.
Joe and I
have a point. I'm sorry. Arrowhead, yeah.
Joe and I have the Cowboys, and Will has the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so we got Minnesota going to Chicago. Chicago is 6-point favorites in this game. I'm taking Chicago. I think Minnesota has nothing with Christian Ponder as quarterback. Yes. Yeah.
6 points.
Yeah.
Picking with the spread. I'm going Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to take Minnesota in this game in general?
Like okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Minnesota's the home team?
No, they're in Chicago.
No, they're in Chicago, but this is not a pros versus Joe game.
Okay, sorry.
I don't need the scouting report, Joe. Okay. Here's a pros versus Joe game, though. We got New Orleans favorite on the road in Tampa. New Orleans is favored by 3 points. I'm taking New Orleans as I'm wearing my Saints jersey today. I got New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a battle of good versus evil, Joe. A Saint and a pirate.
I know.
What kind of pirate, though?
Butt pirate.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, was it the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. Well, this is a tough one. And they're playing at New Orleans?
No, at Tampa.
At Tampa Bay.
Oh, at Tampa Bay. That's a warm climate, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So is New Orleans.
Well, yeah, but New Orleans is very wet and damp. So if they were playing in New Orleans, I'll pick Tampa Bay.
They play in a dome, Joe.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, Tampa plays outdoors, but New Orleans plays in a dome. So sans sogginess for them. Okay. I have New Orleans. Well, Joe has Tampa. Will?
Yeah, New Orleans.
Okay.
New Orleans.
I have no logic to my picks.
No, yes. You do have logic. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Illogical logic.
Yes, you cleared it up for me.
All right, let's see what we got here.
There is method to the madness.
Yes,
going back and forth. Not the pros versus Joe game. Detroit on the road is a 2-point favorite against Arizona. I'm taking Arizona again. In this, I know. Yeah, I'm just being different. I like Arizona this year more than most.
I think a 2-point spread.
It's a pick 'em game.
Yeah, I mean Detroit could take them.
And the reason why I'm taking them as a pick 'em, if it is a pick 'em game, Arizona's home. It's a good stadium for them.
Yeah, I really just think that Detroit has more weapons. I think Detroit could be, I think it could be close, but I just think Detroit has the edge.
So we got Jacksonville. This is a pros versus Joe game.
Oh, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Oakland, huh?
On the road in Oakland. Oh. Oakland is a 5-point favorite.
This is a tough one.
I'm taking Oakland.
Yeah, I'm taking Oakland.
I think, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I apologize. Darren McFadden is going to have almost 200 yards rushing in this game.
Jesus.
Jacksonville is wearing, they're at Oakland, right?
At Oakland.
Yes, sir.
So Jacksonville is wearing the white. I think, they're a little more difficult to see when they wear white. So I'll take Jacksonville.
Wow. Tim scored 2 points last week. He goes with them. Unbelievable.
Everybody has a bad day.
It could turn around that Joe runs the hot streak and runs away with this thing. And
I doubt that.
Absolutely.
And let's see. Next up is the Manning Bowl. Denver on the road, 4-point favorite against the Giants. I'm taking Denver. Hands down.
Yeah.
If Peyton does what he did against Baltimore against this Giants secondary, Peyton's going to throw for about 15 touchdowns in this game.
And let's face it, the Giants secondary is weak. Giants defense as a whole is weak. Yeah. Peyton Manning could absolutely pick him apart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to kill me to watch, but yeah.
And you had picked Denver on the Ham Radio Show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm glad this is not a Pros and Joes
game. No, the next game is the last Pros versus Joe game for the week. San Francisco, Seattle, on the road in Seattle. 3-point favorites are Seattle. I am taking Seattle.
This is a hard game because it's very they live close to together. San Francisco and Seattle are very close. I don't mean emotionally, but you know, they're playing at CenturyLink Field, and I really like the name of the field, CenturyLink Field. So I'll take the home team, which is the home team, San Francisco.
Seattle.
Okay. Seattle is my team. I like Washington anyway. We don't watch this good time.
Yeah, I like Seattle in this game also. I think Seattle's defense is better. I think Seattle's defense is going to be able to kind of hold down the passing attack of the 49ers. And it's going to force Colin Kaepernick to run. And I just don't think they're going to be able to be that productive on the ground against them.
Yeah,
a lot of underlying storylines in this game. You have the fact that the Seahawks don't lose at home.
Right.
That's number one.
12th man is huge.
Yes, and that's their home first game of the year for them at home. And you got San Francisco, which is your in-division rival, coming in. I think it's going to be next to impossible for San Francisco to do anything. Anquan Boldin's going to be on lockdown with that great secondary by the Seattle Seahawks. And on a Madden standpoint, loser of this game has to shave an eyebrow.
Oh, wow.
Between Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick.
I cool did not know that.
Yes, yes. There's a EA Sports Madden commercial.
Right.
They're both sitting there playing, and they look at each other and say, okay, loser has, he goes, big game this weekend. And Russell Wilson says, yeah. And Kaepernick says, loser has to shave an eyebrow. And they said, yeah. So loser in this game actually does have to shave one of their eyebrows. Yeah.
Nice.
Apparently. So bye-bye eyebrow for Kaepernick.
That's a great thing. They should all do picks and punishment.
They're all stealing from Ham Radio.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it gives them incentive to play harder. Yeah.
So, across the board this week, before we get to the Monday night game, we have Joe has Cleveland. Will and I have Baltimore. Joe and I have Dallas. Will has Kansas City. Will and I have New Orleans. Joe has Tampa. Joe has Jacksonville by himself. Will and I have Oakland. And the three of us, the only game we all picked together, we all have Seattle.
Yeah.
So all we'll right. If you want to be reminded of our picks, you can check it out on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. Be pinned right at the top. So if you want to see how we're picking and how we're doing in the Pros versus Joe segment, be right there for you to watch.
We're very diversified this week.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah. And we got the Monday night game, not to be forgotten. Pittsburgh traveling to Cincinnati. Cincinnati 6.5-point favorite after last week. It's a no-brainer to take Cincinnati.
Ooh. Yeah, even with the spread.
Yeah.
Even with the spread, Andy Dalton looked a lot better than Ben Roethlisberger. The offenses, you know, the Pittsburgh defense looked miserable.
Yeah.
They're old.
Yeah, the whole team.
They're old, and they lost something when they lost James Harrison.
Yes, the whole team is old. The whole team top to bottom.
Yeah.
The only young guy is not playing in Le'Veon Bell. Cincinnati is top to bottom younger, and Andy Dalton is, I think, at this point right now in his career, better than Roethlisberger as far as Roethlisberger is aging. He has better weapons.
Right.
Better defense. Geno Atkins, James Harrison.
And let's be honest, James Harrison is going back to his college days where he's going against Roethlisberger. And when Harrison faced Roethlisberger in college, he sacked him 4 times. Yeah. So, I mean, do you think James Harrison could absolutely repeat that performance against him?
Maybe not 4. I'll give him 2.
Okay.
Maybe 4 for the season, but 2 this game. James Harrison has a big, and James Harrison has a chip on his shoulder. You don't want me anymore? All right, well, I'll show you.
Right, exactly.
I'll show you. I still got something in the tank.
I think this is definitely going to be a revenge type of game for him.
I think Cincinnati steps on their necks early. All right, so those are your games for week 2 in the NFL.
All right, well, we're going to have to go to break in a few minutes. But we're going to go into our fantasy segment.
Yeah.
First thing I want to talk about is the Tattoos and Touchdowns Fantasy League. Wild week.
Shout out to my wife, Karen, for kicking my ass.
I wasn't going to bring this
no,
up.
I am humble in every loss that I take. If I make a mistake and I do not have a good team, I do take solace in the fact, however, that I taught her how to make certain draft picks. I told her, listen, if you're going to take whoever your starting running back is, you should look at whoever. Go on OurLads.com and take a look and see who their backup is and try to handcuff them
right
before someone else grabs them, and then you're kind of screwed. And lo and behold, that's great for her this week because she has Arian Foster, and they went on record to say that him and Ben Tate are going to split carries.
Sure.
So now Ben Tate, she has Ben Tate, start them both.
There you go.
There you go.
Absolutely.
But she was absolutely fantastic. She kicked my ass this week, and shout out to my wife. You learned from the best.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, looking at the, it was weird because there's two divisions, the tattoos division, which I am in. I'm leading the division. I'm 1-0. The metalheads are also 1-0, but I lead because of the points. I put up 170 points,
which is major. You had Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And I have Peyton Manning in my big money league. I'm number one in my league also. I had 255 points for the week because I have Peyton Manning, LeSean McCoy, and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
So I won like it was it. Done.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. looking at the rest of my division, everybody lost. Sai says hi. Vic's Doggy Daycare, Gents 47, Poisonous Players, and the Rattleheads all wound up 0-1. In Division 2, the Touchdowns division, Sanchez's headband, that's Karen. She had the second most points of the week with 152. She's 1-0. Mama of two, which is my wife, she was talking a lot of smack going into the Monday night game. She's like,
she was third in the league in points for the week.
Yeah, she was talking a lot of smack. She's like, oh, I won my game. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm proud of you. She goes, oh, I'm beating you in points. I was like, not for long.
Well, look how good me and you are that we have our wives in first place.
That's it. We've taught them a little something. So, yeah, she won. I yell and who that, which is Tanya. Big
yes.
Shout out to her. She's 1-0. Team Grimace, which is Phil, 1-0. Hot Pickles, 1-0. That was my brother. He actually beat Kira, the Vic's Doggy Daycare. And then the two losers in the touchdowns division was Chris and my cousin Tracy. Can't touch this.
And we're playing each other this week.
That's right.
Something's so got to give.
Somebody's going to be 1-0. 1-1 at the end of this week.
Nah, watch. The two of us will tie.
You know what? I hate when that happens, man.
It's
really
the worst.
When that happens.
This week, I have a lot of interesting things to go with. You know what? You want to go to break, and then we'll come back and do a little bit more fantasy so we can do our stardom and sit them?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. So you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back after this.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Bless Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh, boy.
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420. Only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
If
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I would rather go 1 mile down the road than inconvenience men behind me.
Mm-hmm. In my mouth, with my tongue, and testicles.
Oh.
The official statement is fag!
Zach, as far as your routine goes, how, you know, because do you ever, like, do, like, with...
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh, too.
Welcome back. Tattoos and Touchdowns. MoreLikeRadio.com. We touched a little bit on fantasy as far as our show league is concerned. Now we're going to get into fantasy for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, first of all, if anybody has any kind of fantasy questions, call 908-854-4228. Phone line is open. Number again, 908-854-4228. What do I got for us this week? Well, let's take a look at it. David Wilson, I'm going to put as the first hot button guy. A lot of people drafted him very, very high. As of right now, he's still listed as the starter. Anybody who had the chance to go out there and either steal a Darrell Scott off the waiver wire or a Brandon Jacobs, smart move. Just in case David Wilson doesn't hack it anymore and they want to push him back and pull him away from the starting position, that could very well happen. So that number one, first and foremost, is going to be the David Wilson saga. If it was me... And we're going to do start him and sit him in a few minutes, but I would be weary to start him, especially against Denver. Denver looked good against Baltimore. Rice had no running game.
No, absolutely. I got to be really concerned with David Wilson. I was lucky enough to be able to pick up Brandon Jacobs in our week. As soon as I heard they signed him, I put him for him right away.
And I wound up grabbing Darrell Scott, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad pickup right there, you know.
So we're going to do start him and sit him. We're going to start with the quarterback position. My start of the week is Andrew Luck against the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Luck had a big game against Oakland last week, ran the ball effectively. I even had a rushing touchdown last week. I think Miami's defense against Cleveland will not show up this week against Indy. I'll take Andrew Luck.
All right. I'm saying you got to start Peyton Manning. You have to start Peyton Manning against the Giants defense right now. He's most likely going to have a field day.
Yeah.
Going to have a field day against the Giants defense. This is going to be it's not going to be another pretty game for the Giants. I think Eli Manning is going to be able to perform. I'm hoping David Wilson could actually step up and perform. But I see Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott being able to run this through the running game.
Yeah, I also see Denver winning big. I hope not.
Right.
This game actually got bumped from the 8 o'clock game because before the season started, that was your 8 o'clock game. It was supposed to be Manning Bowl.
Right.
And they wound up bumping it for the San Francisco-Seattle game, which I don't think is right, but whatever. My sit of the week is Ben Roethlisberger against Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think that's a trouble waiting to happen big time.
Yeah. I'm going to say sit Jay Cutler. I don't think he's going to be able to do much against the Minnesota defense.
Okay. That's where me and you are different. You just don't like Cutler no matter what.
It's not even that. It's not even that. Cutler puts up decent numbers. He's my backup quarterback. Okay. I'm not really begging him on that. I just think Cutler is just not going to be able to cut it. Minnesota defense.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen this week.
If Jared Allen gets in his back pocket enough, and Jay Cutler's, the offensive line for the Bears has always had an issue with keeping Jay Cutler in the upright position. So I could see where you're coming from. Yeah. I just think there's a little bit of hate there.
No. I put my hate to the side for the show.
Running back wise.
Who's your sleeper?
Oh, my sleeper of the week?
Who's your sleeper of the week for quarterbacks?
My sleeper of the week. I just had it. Where did it go?
I don't know. I'm taking Terrell Pryor.
For your sleeper of the week.
My sleeper of the week. I think he could do it up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who can't? You could do it up against the Jaguars.
Matt Schaub.
Okay.
Against Tennessee.
Okay.
Matt Schaub is not starting on many people's teams. But if you don't have a legit quarterback and you kind of went with two mediocres trying to play piecemeal throughout the entire season, Matt Schaub against Tennessee is not a bad choice.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm still not sold on Tennessee. I'm sorry. I know they put up good numbers against Pittsburgh last week as far as on the defensive side of the ball. I'm still not sold.
Right.
Running back-wise, I'm going Darren McFadden, like I said before. McFadden's going to go banana sandwich against the Jacksonville defense.
I agree. I think he's gonna steal Marshawn Lynch's nickname is Beast Mode, and he's going to tear it apart.
Yeah. So you were in agreement on that one?
Yeah.
Okay. My sit of the week, before we get to the sleeper, we'll do start, sit, then sleeper. My sit of the week is going to be Rashad Mendenhall against Detroit. As much as I like Arizona, I think by the end of the season, Mendenhall will not be the starter on Arizona. I think Detroit gets into Mendenhall's back pocket and puts him behind the offensive line of scrimmage way too many times. Do not start Mendenhall.
I'm saying don't start Frank Gore. I think that Seattle defense is going to be very stout and is really going to take advantage of basically they're going to take away the passing game, which is going to force the 49ers into the running game. And I think Colin Kaepernick is going to be scrambling more than anything else. So I don't think Frank Gore is going to get the numbers he should.
Very cool. My sleeper of the week is Steven Jackson against St. Louis, playing his old team. At home, I think Steven Jackson has a tremendous week. He shouldn't be your number one running back. If Steven Jackson is your number one running back on your team, you got some problems. If he's your number two or your flex position, by all means, start him this week. Big time.
Okay. I'm going to say Eddie Lacy.
Okay.
I think Eddie Lacy is going to have a breakout performance this week against the Redskins.
All right. Start of the week on the wide receiver side, I am going with Steve Smith against Buffalo.
Yeah, that's...
I didn't see anything from the Buffalo secondary-wise. Now, the front seven was fantastic against Tom Brady, which was putting pressure on him and having him get rid of the ball quick. I didn't see anything secondary-wise to turn around and say, ooh, yeah, don't start. No, Steve Smith, all day, every day, he should be in there. Definitely start him.
I'm going to say Dwayne Bowe against the Cowboys. The Cowboys' defense gave up some big passes last week to the Giants.
Right.
Victor Cruz had a couple. Hakeem Nicks had a couple. Reuben Randle had a couple of big catches. So I think Dwayne Bowe is going to exploit it with Alex Smith throwing the ball to him. I think Alex Smith Dwayne Bowe is going to be a good relationship. It's going to be nice. And I think it starts to come to fruition this week.
And that's why you took them in the Pros vs. Joe segment.
Yes, sir.
Sit of the week for me is Anquan Boldin. I know Boldin had a huge week last week. He was also playing a non-existent Packers secondary.
Right.
This week he goes up against a very stout, possibly the best in the NFL secondary in Seattle. Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman will be splitting the time covering Anquan Boldin. I think Boldin has maybe three catches this week, four tops, for a grand total of 55 to 60 yards, no touchdowns. Big difference from last week.
Okay. I'm going to say sit down Mike Williams versus the Saints. I think the Saints defense is going to be, they look pretty decent. I think this is the week that, you know, they start to show what they're really going to be able to do. And I think they hold Williams down maybe 50 yards.
And my sleeper alert is Marlon Brown. And everybody's sitting there saying, who? Marlon Brown is the wide receiver that took over for Jacoby Jones.
Yeah.
The one, yeah, Jacoby Jones. Because there's Jacoby Jones and James Jones. One's on Green Bay, one's on Baltimore. So
right.
Baltimore's wide receiver who was the punt returner that got his knee hyperextended in the opening weekend game.
Ooh, yeah.
And Marlon Brown came in, was very, you know, serviceable. He's your slot guy opposite of Torrey Smith. He's not going to see any of Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden's going to be on Torrey Smith the entire game. I would, if you need a third wide receiver or a flex because you have nobody, take Marlon Brown this week if you picked him up.
My sleeper is going to be Reuben Randle. I think Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks is going to get double covered most of the game. And I think Eli Manning is not going to have any choice but to go to Reuben Randle. So I think he's going to pick up I don't think he's going to get 100 yards, but I think he sees the end zone at least once.
Okay, fair enough. Moving over to tight ends. My start of the week is Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron had a big week for Brandon Whedon and the Browns last week. I think he... Listen, Baltimore's not going to win the game, but I think he still gets over 75 to 100 yards receiving. I'm not completely sold on the Ravens linebackers. They did nothing against Denver. I'm not saying Denver and Cleveland are in the same breath of each other.
Right.
But I think Jordan Cameron has a big day.
All right. I'm going with the Julius Thomas. Julius Thomas, Peyton Manning is going to be able to... Yeah. He's going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And Julius Thomas, two touchdowns last Thursday. It's almost a no-brainer. He's probably going to have the same success against the Giants this week.
It's my sit of the week going back to the Monday night game. I'm actually going to flip the script a little bit. Jermaine Gresham, sit him. Sit him, sit him, sit him. By the end of this game, Tyler Eifert will be your number one. I don't see Jermaine Gresham having more than three catches this week.
I'm going to say sit Fred Davis against the Packers.
Packers got great linebackers.
Yeah. Fred Davis is top flight tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does amazing things, but I think this week he's going to be stymied by the Packers linebacking core.
Shout out to Punchy in the MoreLikeRadio.com chat room.
Hey, Punchy.
He didn't say anything to us, but hi. and my sleeper of the week is Brandon Myers against the Broncos. We have the same team. We have the same game, but I just went with the sleeper. Listen, Mannings make no-name tight ends famous. Yeah. I think that trend continues. Eli has to kind of – if you're looking at double teams for Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, guys like Reuben Randle, like you just said – and guys like Brandon Myers have to step up, and he has to focus them in. He has to include them in more in the offense.
Much agreed. I'm going to say Brent Celek against the Chargers.
Okay.
It's another one of those Chip Kelly offense. It's going to be doing it up. Brent Celek is going to be the safety net. Vic is just going to throw it around. I think he's going to have a big day against the Chargers, and Brent Celek is going to reap the benefits from it. So. You got Brent Celek. If you have a flex position, start him.
Very cool. We won't do a sleeper for the kickers, but we will do a start and sit for the kickers.
Is there really sleepers for kickers, though, honestly?
Yeah, when his foot falls asleep and he can't.
Oh, thanks for clearing that up.
I knew Joe would get a kick out of that one.
punny.
You know I love that.
My start of the week is Matt Bryant for Atlanta against the St. Louis Rams, I think. Mainly because I have like $88,000 hinging on this game. Atlanta is gonna be kicking early and often as far as extra points and field goals.
Yeah, I'm going to say Randy Bullock against the Titans. He's going to have a couple field goals and probably like 75 extra point attempts.
And I'll stay in that same game. I'm sitting Rob Baronis from Tennessee against Houston.
I'm going to sit Dan Bailey against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. And everybody just tuned out on us. Okay, we'll get back to defenses. Something exciting.
Defense.
start and sit of the week for defense. My start of the week is going to be the Bengals against Pittsburgh. No-brainer. I think that I... Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Texans against Tennessee, man. I got to take Texans. You know, J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing, they suddenly woke up in the second half of that game last week. I don't think they allow that to happen again, especially with Tennessee Titans talking all the smack they did during the week. I think Cushing and Watt take the team to the side and say, hey, you heard all this crap? Let's destroy them.
Yeah, Cushing is scarier than Watt on certain aspects. My sit of the week is the Giants. If you have the Giants defense as your number one, do not start them.
First off, what in God's name were you thinking?
Yeah.
I agree with that, but I'm also, just to be a little bit different, I'm going to set the Steelers defense against the Bengals.
Yeah, that's fair enough. My sleeper defense is the Raiders. Yeah. like I said, if you have the Giants and you need that one defense this week where you sit there and go, oh, shit, I only have one defense, do yourself a favor. Pick up Oakland against Jacksonville. History has dictated already that Jacksonville can't put points on the board. They don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. All they have is MJD, so they're going to key on the run the entire game. They have no wide receivers to speak of. Take Oakland. You'll be better off for it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that was your fantasy start 'em and sit 'em. We kind of had mixed success last week, so hopefully we improve upon that this week.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Like we said before, the thing is, no one can dictate or predict. Let me say it. Let me change that. No one can predict what's going to happen week one of a season. You've said the first month. I think it's just the first week. There's a lot going on. If no one would have predicted Peyton Manning to have that good of a game.
Oh, absolutely not. No way. Know?
7 touchdowns, no interceptions. Like, no one would have predicted Anquan Boldin to go for 200 yards receiving.
Right.
You start to see who has the who the friendships are, like, really quick. Like, yeah. Kaepernick is like, all right, I don't have Crabtree. I don't have Mario Manningham. Okay, it's Anquan Boldin.
Oh, but look, I got Anquan Boldin.
Yes. Super Bowl champion Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, really?
All right.
Absolutely.
So who's playing who this week in our league? Let's get back to our league.
Oh, all right. I got to go back to that league.
I know I'm playing Tracy. Can't touch this.
Right.
In the Mr. Clean Toilet Bowl game of the week. Both of us with the two lowest point scores for the week. Sorry, Tracy, but it's the truth. Jesus. There's going to be three people at that game.
Yeah. we got Jeff, the poisonous players, going against Cy Says Hi.
That's C Says Hi.
C Says Hi. I thought it was Cy Says Hi.
No, C, like in C. Yes, C.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, there
I
you
know.
Go.
It's my friend Joey. He does whatever.
Whatever makes you happy. Just trying to...
The flying teabags are already off to a flying start at 24.85 to nothing against the Rattleheads.
Yeah,
Who the hell did you have?
The Patriots defense.
Oh, God. Well, Patriots defense only gave up 10 points. They had 4 sacks, 3 interceptions.
That's to share 20.
Who's talking to us?
I don't know.
And a fumble. So, big week for you already from the Patriots. I said to you, when we looked at the draft, I said to you, your team is filthy. Filthy dirty.
It's receiver heavy.
Yes.
That's my thing. I mean, my running back's not that great.
No. No.
But I'm relying a lot on my receivers to really take me to where I want to be.
T.Y. Hilton on the flex spot for you. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. No, that's fine.
You know, but look at my first two receivers.
I agree. Andre Johnson and Calvin Johnson. And Johnson. Vic's Doggy Daycare against I.E.L. and Houdet. Vic's Doggy Daycare has only got 12 points from Tom Brady.
But he had a terrible game.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you... There were a couple of seasons that I was fortunate enough to have Tom Brady in the 2007 season when he threw 50 touchdowns. Like, I had him and Randy Moss.
Right.
I was winning weeks that I didn't need anybody else to show up.
Right. But, I mean, let's take a look at her backup. Her backup is Ben Roethlisberger.
You have to stop Brady.
Yeah.
And Shane Vereen now is on IR, so she lost a running back. She's got C.J. Spiller, but she's only got Daniel Thomas as her number two back. She's going to need big production from... She has A.J. Green, so that's
going to be some
meaty
big points.
Yes. And Tanya, Ayel and Houdat wound up taking Jimmy Graham in the first round for me, which I was none too thrilled about because he's been my rah-rah guy since before the season even started. We have Metalheads against Mama of Two. Metalheads is Dustin. Mama of Two is the lovely Dawn. Right now, Mama of Two...
By the way, just real quick, I want to wish my wife a very happy anniversary today. 7 years today.
Very nice.
Doesn't feel like a day less than 70.
Okay. Never mind. She didn't stop Bilal Powell this week. Bilal Powell actually had 48 yards and a rushing touchdown, so she would have got 15 points from him.
Yeah, but she's got Mendenhall and Lacey, so, I mean...
Mendenhall, I think, is the rough one there.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacey's a good look. Let's take a look, see if Julio Jones is listed as questionable for this game. He's expected to play. They don't know how many touches he's going to get. Last week he had 7 catches, 76 yards and a touch, but he also lost a fumble. This is going to be a big week for him. Please, Julio, listen, I got a lot of money on this. Start the damn game. Play the damn game as I talk to a screen. on the flip side, the Metalheads, Josh Freeman, his backup quarterback is Phillip Rivers. Ooh, he's a little light at the quarterback position. Larry Fitzgerald and Tavon Austin. Fitzgerald is questionable in this game. It's probably a game-time decision, but he's probably going to start. It's Larry Fitzgerald. Trent Richardson, Darren Sproles, and Ryan Matthews. He went running back heavy. How did he win last week? That's what I want to know. Anyway, Jensen and Hot Pickles.
Now, this right here, this is my brother, Hot Pickles, and... this is our fake cousin in the Jensen. He lives over in England.
Okay.
my brother and Wayne, they're literally born weeks apart. So this is kind of like, this is almost like our version of the Manning Bowl.
Right.
So, two lifelong friends going against each other. This is going to be interesting. Just looking at the teams, Hot Pickles has Aaron Rodgers, Matt Forte, Darius Heyward-Bey, Reggie Wayne.
Julius Thomas.
Seahawks defense, Julius Thomas. I got to give the edge to him. I mean,
and he's already been bitten by the injury bug because he has he drafted Gronkowski, inactive. Okay.
Right.
He drafted Jeremy Curley, inactive now because he's hurt. He had a concussion. Jacoby Jones, out. So he lost two wide receivers already. So he piecemealed together Reggie Wayne and Darius Heyward-Bey. Now, that's great. They're playing. He's got a favorable matchup this week.
Right.
Favorable matchup. So, and he went out and took Leonard Hankerson. Hankerson was the sexy. Hankerson last week was Ogletree week one last year when he caught three touchdowns against the Giants. Oh my God, I got to get him.
Right.
And then he doesn't do anything for the rest of the season. So be wary on Hankerson. If I was Hot Pickles, I would have started Stephen Hill this week. 86 catches. Of course he had a fumble. Of course. Stephen Hill doesn't know how to hold on to the damn ball. Flip side for the Gents, Matthew Stafford, Ray Rice, Ahmad Bradshaw, Demaryius Thomas, Hakeem Nicks. It's a beefed up team. He just got a little bit bitten this week. Vic Ballard is on injured reserve, and I want to say this guy's name right.
Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon? Yes, Josh Gordon. I was going to say Jeff Gordon, but he drives NASCAR. He is suspended.
And my
computer froze. There we go. Okay, and to round it out this week, Sanchez's headband and Team Grimace. That's Karen and Phil. Phil has 9 points this week. He had two guys play already. He had Steven Ridley and Goskowski.
It's sad when your kicker outscores your running back. Goskowski had 5 points. Ridley had four.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a tough week for Phil.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough week. I'm sorry, Phil. I think I see Karen. No biased here. Karen going 2-0. Karen's got great running backs. She's got the Arian Foster, Ben Tate handcuff against a very suspect Tennessee team.
Right.
And she's got Reggie Bush, who put up mucho points last week. The only thing I would tell her, if she's listening, hopefully she is.
She better be.
Please drop Michael LaShore. Michael LaShore is not going to be getting any playing time. Joyce Bell is the number two running back on Detroit. Sanchez is on IR, which I think she's actually just going to keep him on the team all season. Just because her name is Sanchez's headband. I told her she should change the name to Sanchez's shoulder pad because of his bad wing.
Sanchez's sling.
She is in a very favorable position because she has Eli Manning, Robert Griffin III, and E.J. Manuel for her quarterbacks.
How'd she want number three?
She drafted four. She took Sanchez
Roger
also.
Griffin, too.
Yeah. She turned
Sanchez,
around.
Jesus Christ.
She basically turned around and said, I told her, you need to have two. She wound up taking three because she really wanted Eli Manning and she really wanted Victor Cruz. Smart move. Handcuff them both.
Sure.
Whatever.
Paid off big for her last week.
Absolutely. Victor Cruz had what, three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns.
I'm looking at it for her as, if I have the three of them, what's the most favorable matchup for me? I don't think her starting Eli against Denver is smart. I would be starting E.J. Manuel against Carolina, but it's not my team.
Right.
Not exactly. My team. I just want to talk about really quick the Tracy and I's game, the Tidy Bowl. She's got a good team.
She does.
She's got Matt Ryan, Mark Ingram. All right.
Alfred Morris.
Marcus Colston and Brandon Marshall. Delicious. Tony Gonzalez.
Julio Jones.
That's not Julio.
That's not Julio?
It was like Julio. That is
James Jones
from Green Bay.
My bad.
And come on with this damn thing.
Robbie Gould kicking it.
Thank you.
Tony Gonzalez is tight end.
And the 49ers defense.
And the 49ers defense. I'd be wary of the 49ers defense.
On the flips, yeah, I would be too.
But again, she's got the Bucs against.
No.
Against New Orleans, so you gotta go there.
No. Flip side for me, I have LeSean McCoy, who single-handedly put me back in the game last week.
Sure.
Against Karen. David Wilson, please stay on the field. David Wilson, stop fumbling.
Just stop putting the ball on the field.
Basically. I didn't start Darrell Scott this week as a flex. I wasn't even going to attempt that. I wound up starting DeAndre Hopkins as my flex.
Smart move.
Against Tennessee. Jared Cook, that was the mistake I made last week. I had Jared Cook on the bench, and I started Ed Dixon. Jared Cook had 31 points last week against Arizona. I start Jared Cook, I win the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Jared Cook was the one thorn in my side. I have Miles Austin and Tavon Smith. The reason why I'm starting Miles Austin over anybody else on my team, number one, is he's my second best wide receiver. And number two, I have him handcuffed to Romo.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, that's
you
want
to take one more break?
Yeah, yeah. I actually I have to go use the potty.
Ooh, tinkle time.
Tinkle time. All right. Again, tattoos and touchdowns. MoreLikeRadio.com. We will be back after this.
Comes off the stage and on the ledge on the counter, squats down, and does like the ass squat, like she's humping the air, right? And her ass hit the shelf, the counter, whatever. And she went, ow. And now, you know me.
Did you start laughing hysterically?
No, he went to like try to catch her. Like, are you okay? That's definitely what he did. Like, oh, my God.
This is why Nick knows me longer than you and Sally.
Are you okay, baby? I would have laughed at her.
I went, oh, my God.
Did you get a splinter?
I went, oh, my God. I have to save this poor stripper's ass.
Yeah.
Because she went back down and do it again.
Uh-huh.
So I put my hand underneath so she wouldn't smack her ass against it. She crushed. I thought I was going to catch her ass, but her ass slam my pinky into
you
the corner of
the
counter. Broke
her finger from an ass slamming incident.
She had to have been Puerto Rican.
I felt all this warmth. She burst my finger open with blood. And right after that, she asked for a lap dance. And you know how I am in strip club.
You say yes right
all,
away.
Yeah. And I was trying to, and I kept my left hand down, and I felt like the blood dripping down on the floor.
Oh. Hey, baby, the second time I hit the ground wasn't that bad. What happened? Oh, it was just my pinky. It's cool though. We're all right. It's fine. Oh, well, would you like a lap dance? Yeah, just hold on 1 second. I just need to get some cocktail napkins real quick. I'll be right with you in a moment, ma'am. I really do. No, please don't leave. No, it's just blood. It's not contagious. My hand looks like a boxing glove, but it's going to be okay if the touching rules still apply. We're going to be all right. We're going to be okay. Now, how much did you say it was? Oh, this fucking hurts. Ow. Oh, God. I'm going to cry. $40? Yes, that's okay. That's reasonable. I just want to know if... Oh, God. Is that man going to watch us the whole entire time? Or... Yes, okay. Thank you.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
While in the studio, original guitarist from the Fugees, Joe DeMarco gives Joe Conte some sound advice on his constant quest for weight loss.
My experience? Is it like...
Joe DeMarco experience.
Oh, okay. I thought you asked me.
Like now tonight, I just meet you, right?
Right.
And it's an experience for me. So right. I'm going to put it in the album. I'm going to make a song about it like this. You go like this. I'm at a man who wants to lose weight. In this time hard of recession. Like the bear, you should keep your weight. That way it costs you less money to feed yourself. Don't eat. Let your mother eat. Don't eat. Let your brother eat. Don't eat. Let your father eat.
And they're all
when you go out, don't eat all you can. Eat what you have. Let the others eat.
You can mention I have emotional problems, too. I've been with a lot of hookers. I'm in a relationship now, but I don't know why.
Soon you're going to find out why. Wake up at night. Let your child eat.
Fucking A, man.
That way you lose a lot of weight.
The Conte and Kenny Show.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, breaking down the NFL every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to noon. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Dominican Sue.
Jerk.
Beyond jerk. He got fined $100,000 for his low block against the Vikings. He's appealing it, obviously, but this is an unprecedented fine. The NFL never hands out a fine this big.
Well, you get to a point where you're doing it enough. Like, this isn't his first offense.
No, his first offense was the head stomp.
Because if this was his first offense, he wouldn't get a $100,000 fine.
No.
It would have been, hey, easy, sailor. Like, you know, take it easy. Like what happened last year with Matt Slauson for the Jets against Brian Cushing. It was unintentional. The block that caused Brian Cushing to be out for the rest of the season.
Right.
But I think he still got like a $10,000 fine. It wasn't anything massive.
Right.
But when your name is Ndamukong Suh, you can't really hide behind anybody. And like you said, the head stomp, there was this. Didn't he go for a groin kick?
I forget who he kicked in the groin last season, but yeah.
I understand the aggression of the game. Let me finish. There's aggression, and then there's ruthless aggression.
Right.
And you're on the cusp of ruthless aggression to criminal actions.
Yeah.
It's a violent game. There's no need to be violent on people's manhood, number one. Number two...
That's never acceptable no matter what you're playing.
No. And then you're causing physical... Like I understand you're never... I'm never going to change the way I play. Knock it off, stupid.
You have to change the way you're going to play. First off, the low block was completely unnecessary. They were so far away from the play.
Yes.
You know, he was about 10 to 15 yards away from the play when he laid down that low block. You're a lineman. The other guy you were chasing was a lineman. He's not going to get there. Not going to happen. Dominican Sue, ridiculous. What is going to stop him?
A full suspension. Multiple game suspension.
I mean, do you see that on the horizon
for
him?
Yes. It has to. First time it happens, give him a little bit of a fine. Second time it happens, you gave him a little more of a fine. This time it happens, $100,000 fine. The next time, you can't fine him $1 million. No, guess what? We're going to take you out for 2 games, 3 games, 4 games, season. It has to be something. I'm not saying they're going to go to the extreme of season in the first shot. But if you're going this ticky-tack in the beginning, you might as well start doing games and no payment for that game. And Dominican Sue makes enough money. I think he makes something close to like $1.5 million per game.
Right.
Or $800,000 per game. Sorry, you're not playing for 2 games. Now, if the Lions catch a little fire and they're in the middle of a playoff run, you're going to lose Ndamukong for 2 games? Jim Schwartz is going to be the first one to grab him by the face mask and say, listen, dude, you need to chill out.
Right.
Big time.
Yeah, I don't know if there actually is a solution for Dominican Sue. He's just, I don't get it. It makes absolutely no sense. Why you'd be playing like this? Why does he feel he has to play this dirty? You know, he's an amazing talent. Amazing talent. Why does he have to play this dirty? Why does he have to go on with this stupidity?
Because he's trying to be the quote-unquote throwback. Now, I'm not saying it's right, because even the throwbacks never played this dirty.
Right, exactly.
But he was like this in Nebraska. He was like this at U of N. And it translated over to here, but no one really cared. They kind of looked the other way because he was so much of a physical freak.
Right.
If he was smart enough. Like, honestly, I think Nick Fairley is being better than him anyway because Nick Fairley keeps his nose clean. And he's cultivating Ziggy Ansah.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's completely baffling to me also. It's... He's got to stop the nonsense. He's got to step his game up. He's got to do what he's got to do, and he's got to avoid these fines. Because, like Chris said, eventually, all that's going to happen, suspended, and you're going to get suspended at a time where it's going to really cost your team. So,
actually, I'm sorry. There's a follow up on NFL.com as we're speaking. The article is written by Kevin Patra from NFL.com. He goes on to say that the next, for better or for worse, the spotlight will be on Sue this Sunday. This is I'm quoting here. And every Sunday the rest of his career. People will be waiting for him to snap and make a questionable play. If he doesn't change, inevitably, we will end up covering a Sue suspension at some point in the future. So it's looking like the next one, like we had just touched on, will be an Ndamukong Suh suspension.
Does it happen this year?
Yes, 100%. He's gonna fly off the handle again. Again, this is NFL.com. Kevin Patra, around the league writer. And guys, don't forget, as you're listening to the tail end of our show, we got about 20 minutes left. You got Sully coming on right after us live.
Yeah.
He's back. Last week was a best of?
Last week was a best of. He's back live this week, and he's back big time. He's going to be interviewing country singer and songwriter David Shelby.
Nice.
So good for him. Should be a good show.
Very good. Good for Sully, and obviously good for More Like Radio. Great show right after us, and a great show right before him. So
that's right. That's right.
So you want to talk a little Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know, the candidates were announced this week, earlier this week. You got some pretty big names. Some pretty big names that are eligible this year. First-year eligible guys. Trent Green,
not going to happen.
No. Sean Alexander.
Not a first year.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Warwick Dunn.
Not a first year.
No. Marvin Harrison, possible.
Yes.
Very yes. possible.
Marvin Harrison.
I'm gonna say this though. If Marvin Harrison makes it in and Tim Brown doesn't.
Oh, okay. Fair. That's fair.
But same position. Tim Brown deserves to be in there more than Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison deserves it.
He does.
Tim Brown's been waiting way too damn long to get in.
Marvin Harrison, entire career, if he was in a game, caught at least one pass.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Caught at least one pass.
Absolutely. Willie Anderson, offensive tackle. Walter Jones, all right. Derek Brooks.
Derek Brooks is a first. He has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Listen to me. These are the four linebackers eligible this year, first year. Derek Brooks, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Zach Thomas. All big names.
Yeah, I see. Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Zach Thomas will knock it in this year because they usually like to throw that one guy into the fire for the first-year eligibility as far as players go, because there's some coaches on this list, too.
Right.
Right now, my flip-a-coin between that, and we're going to get to the next guy right now, is Derek Brooks and Rodney Harrison. I can't stand Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
Hate him.
All right.
San Diego Charger and New England Patriot. But I can't take anything away from his career as a player. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Also, Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain at the cornerback position are eligible this year. And your three coaches, Tony Dungy, John Gruden,
boo,
Mike Holmgren.
Sorry.
So much hate for Chucky.
I can't stand him. I think
first ballot Holmgren?
Holmgren.
All right.
Dungy makes sense in the fact of first African-American head coach to ever win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Big fit for that. Doug Williams, first African-American quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl, and Tony Dungy. Dungy faced Marvin Lewis, not Marvin Lewis. Lovie Smith in the Super Bowl. Something had to give on that one. It was the first black coach to ever win a Super Bowl, and it wound up being Tony Dungy. Dungy won't make it this year, but he will make it another year. I mean, Dungy was instrumental in Tampa. He was instrumental in Indianapolis. It just so happened in Indy, he had a man named Peyton Manning.
Yes.
That kind of helped. But he also had Dwight Freeney. That helped, too.
Right.
So, what are some of the additional nominees?
All right.
This isn't first-year eligibility. They've been here
before. They've been here for a little bit. They've been kind of waiting. In your quarterback position, you got Drew Bledsoe, Randall Cunningham, Doug Flutie, Steve McNair, Phil Simms. Who would you pick out of those guys?
Really quick, we're getting a shout-out for Ray Guy in the Hall of Fame.
Ray Guy, huh?
Punter. Anyway, out of those guys being Randall Cunningham. Out of those quarterbacks, I would take Cunningham.
Yeah, I would. I love Phil Simms, but I would take Cunningham over Phil Simms. I agree with that.
I think Cunningham had a bigger career. Yes, Phil Simms had one of the greatest Super Bowls for a passing quarterback.
Right.
I think he only missed four passes that entire game in '86 against the Broncos.
Yeah, highest passer rating ever in the Super Bowl.
But he was very injury prone. So after The 90 season, he kind of got them to the playoffs, but it was Hostetler that had to take over.
Right.
So, personally speaking, I think Cunningham had a, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, he played in a lot more memorable games. He also had, he was 15-1 with the Vikings. He played in the Fog Bowl game against Chicago. He was on great teams with Reggie White and Jerome Brown. He had good people around him. His career was extended longer.
Yes. Let's head over to the running back position. You have Otis Anderson, Tiki Barber, Jerome the Bus Bettis, who was a finalist last year.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Centers, Roger Craig, Stephen Davis, Terrell Davis, Eddie George, Priest Holmes, Dave Meggett, Eric Metcalf, Herschel Walker, Ricky Waters. Out of this, I got to pick either Herschel Walker or Roger Craig.
And you're putting Jerome Bettis to the side because he was a finalist last year.
Not even that. I just think, I mean, the Bus is deserving. I just think Herschel Walker and Roger Craig had better careers.
Yeah. Dave Meggett, no. Dave Meggett's in jail.
Yeah, well.
Doesn't Priest make him a bad Holmes. Guy. Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes was good for about 4 years.
He was the best for about 4 years.
Right.
Like, there was no one better in Kansas City, Dick Vermeil offense.
Right.
Revolutionized. See, circa Marshall Faulk Hall of Famer, right. Dick Vermeil offense.
Yes.
Out of this, I'm going Terrell Davis or Herschel Walker. Terrell right. Davis was amazing for about 5 seasons. But yeah. That's the thing. Like, I see where you're saying with Roger Craig, because Roger Craig was good over an entire period of time.
Right.
Herschel Walker, if Phil was here right now, he'd be kissing the screen right now, Herschel Walker. It's his favorite. That's his favorite
he
guy.
Might actually start licking my ear to
yes,
thank
for
me,
Herschel but. Walker. But Georgia Bulldog and all that other fun stuff. Herschel Walker was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I
Dallas
mean,
Cowboy, Minnesota Viking.
Yeah. I mean, overall, out of all of them, I got to go with Herschel Walker out of everybody else. So, let's bounce on over to the wide receiver position. Got some pretty big names in here. Tim Brown. Why? Why is he not in yet?
Keep going, because I'm going to actually pull up the Tim Brown stats while we're doing this.
Okay. Tim Brown, Mark Clayton, Gary Clark, Henry Ellard, Keyshawn Johnson, Keenan McCardle, Andre Reed, Sterling Sharp, Jimmy Smith, Rod Smith. Tim Brown and Andre Reed were finalists last year. Again, I think that Tim Brown should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. He had good numbers. His biggest problem, he was constantly overshadowed by Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up stats right now. Career, Tim Brown career. 14,934 yards receiving. Played 255 games. Every year, he played almost an entire season. His last season was 2004 with Tampa.
Right.
In 15 games that year, he had 24 receptions for 200 yards. So obviously, he was in a diminished role. I mean, his rookie season was 1988. 1988, his rookie season, he was 16 games played, 725 yards, 5 touchdowns. His best season statistically, overall, all-encompassing, was the 95 season in 16 games. He had 1,342 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns.
And that's when he was with Oakland.
Yes. Every year from 93 to 2001, between the Los Angeles Raiders and the Oakland Raiders, he had nothing less than 1,000 yards in every season, 1,012, nothing less than 5 touchdowns per season, with his max out season being 2,000 with 11 touchdowns. I completely, totally, 100% agree. That's the guy we're talking about. Withstands the test of time with one team. I put the Tampa season to the side.
Right.
With one team, Tim Brown is a no-brainer.
And how looking, is he not in?
And looking at the other list of guys here, besides the first year players, you can't tell me you would take the only other one would be Sterling Sharp. But even Sterling Sharp is a feel good because of what happened to him.
Right.
He was beastly for like 3 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest with you. The two receivers, if I had to set up an all time team based on the guys I'm looking at right now, the two receivers I would want, Tim Brown and Andre Reed. Tim Brown and Andre Reed.
I'm sorry. I completely drew a blank on Andre Reed being with one of the greatest dynasties to never win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. But Tim Brown, more than deserving. Stop with the nonsense. Get him in.
Really quick on Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp played for 7 seasons. Never missed a game. 595 career receptions, 8,134 yards. So now, you look at a guy like Tim Brown who played from 88 to 2004.
Right.
Okay. If we can prorate this for Sterling Sharp, if he would have stood healthy, he has more receiving yards than Tim Brown. I feel he didn't play long enough. And that's, I don't know if that's fair, but I think you need at least 10 seasons in the league. Like,
listen, Sterling Sharp is going to get in eventually.
Yeah.
He's going to get in eventually.
His brother's already in.
Right. He was dynamic at his position. Played well for 7 years, obviously. He doesn't deserve it more than Tim Brown or Andre Reed.
Now, I'm looking at his numbers, though, man.
Fantastic.
1988 was his rookie season. 55 catches, 791 yards and a touch. Second season, 1989. I think that was with Don Majkowski throwing to him.
Who?
The magic man.
Who?
Don Majkowski. 90 receptions, 1,423 yards, 12 touchdowns. He also had a season, his last season, 1994. 94 catches, 1,119 yards, 18 touchdowns. It's a machine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about Andre Reed since we have a little bit of time to look at Andre Reed's stats. It's interesting. I mean, you look at a guy and you sit there and say, oh, yeah, Hall of Famer. And then you really dig in deep to his stats and you're like, oh, maybe not. You know,
right, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. How the hell is he eligible? Like, because Keyshawn never should make it to the Hall of Fame.
No. No, absolutely not.
Andre Reed played for 15 seasons, 951 receptions, 13,198 yards. He only had four seasons where he caught over 1,000 yards receiving. That was in 1989, 1991, 1994, 1996. His biggest receiving year was 91. He played in all 16 games, 81 catches, 1,113 yards, 10 touchdowns. Never had another double-digit season in touchdowns ever. He had 87 touchdowns overall, and then he also ran the ball a couple times.
Okay. So, I mean, basically, out of the wide receivers, do me a favor, just for kicks, because the only first-year wide receiver available right now is Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm saying a wide receiver is definitely making it in this year.
It has to be Tim Brown. If only one is going to make it, it's got to be Tim Brown.
Absolutely.
But I'm pulling up the Harrison stats.
I just want to see his stats, just to kind of throw them up there.
Harrison played for 12 seasons, 1,102 receptions. For 14,580 yards.
How many touchdowns?
128, dude.
Oh, man.
That's the thing. Like,
sorry, Timmy.
And he had one season where he only played five games. He was hurt in 2007. So I'm going to you throw out that season. He still had over 125 touchdowns for his career.
Yeah.
Again,
Peyton Manning was throwing to him for a bulk of his career.
Listen to these receiving yard numbers. 1663, 1413, 1524, 1722, 1272, 1113, 1146, 1366. Every one of those years, 12 touchdowns, 14, 15, 11, 10, 15, 12, 12. He was the best at his position for that brick of time.
Yeah.
From 99 to 2006, there was no one better.
Yeah.
He was better than Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Every game he played in, every single game, and then the last three seasons, every single game, let me finish my thought, that he played in, he caught at least one pass.
Right.
At least one. The last three seasons that he played, 06, 07, 08, they have his targets down here. He was targeted 147 times in 06, 95 receptions. Targeted 32 times in 07, 20 catches. 107 times in 08, 60 catches. He's around the ball constantly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this.
I got to give the leg up to Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tim. I want you. I'm not a Raiders fan, but I absolutely respect the game you played. I want you in the Hall of Fame. But if it's between you and Marvin Harrison, I got to give to Marvin right now.
I think if they were smart, they both go in. Tim Brown needs to go in on a humble now. Like, he's been there enough now.
Right.
Like Burt Blyleven in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been there long enough. Get in. Get in.
It's at this point, it's almost sympathy.
Some of these guys crave on sympathy, though.
Deserved, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. We have like 5 minutes left. We do a little bit of defense.
Okay. Montbavar with the tight end. Let's skip over the offensive linemen. Defensive linemen, Jerome Brown, Charles Haley, Ed Too Tall Jones, Dexter Manley, Charles Mann, Steve McMichael, Fred Smearless, Michael Strahan, Ted Washington, Bryant Young.
Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about this before, Michael Strahan.
Him and Charles Haley, both finalists last year. The linebacker position, Cornelius Bennett, Kevin Green, Ken Harvey, Clay Matthews, Carl Mecklenburg, Sam Mills, Daryl Talley.
I got Daryl Talley, Cornelius Bennett, and Kevin Green. Kevin Green was amazing across a bunch of teams.
Yeah. Kevin Green was a finalist last year. Defensive backs, Eric Allen, Steve Atwater, Joey Browner, Leroy Butler, Albert Lewis, John Lynch, Troy Vincent, Everson Walls, Aeneas Williams, Darren Woodson. I like Aeneas Williams, man.
Aeneas Williams was a finalist last year. Aeneas Williams should be there. Steve Atwater is a personal favorite of mine, and John Lynch. Those are my three.
Yeah. And just the kickers, because allegedly they're people, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Morton Anderson, Gary Anderson, Sean Landetta, Nick Lowry, Steve Tasker. That's kickers, punters, special teams. I'm sorry, Steve Tasker. And Brian Mitchell, who was a kick returner, punt returner.
I am going on record to start a campaign. Vi Sekahima should be in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
He was a punt returner, a kick returner.
Okay.
Destroyed the Giants when he was on Philly and when he was on.
Are you just saying that because he has a fun name?
Besides that.
Okay.
And when he was on Arizona, at the time Phoenix, and St. Louis Cardinals.
St. Louis Cardinals.
If you're going to put in guys like that that only did one thing well, that's why I'm kind of on the fence about certain things like that, because if that's the case, then Dante Hall should be in, and Azahir Hakim should be in, because right. They were good at that. And then when Devin Hester retires, then you could look at him at that. If that's the case, then I want Vi Sekahima in. Damn it.
All right. Well, the tattoos and touchdowns, going to start the campaign. Vi Sekahima for special teams, Hall of Fame.
Hashtag Vi for Hoff. VAI 4, number 4, HOF. I got your back, Vi.
Wow. Good looking out. I'm sure he appreciates it. I'm sorry. It's the name.
I've completely derailed the show with Vi Sekahima, and I'm proud of it.
Thankfully, we're at the end of the show. good Lord. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. You've heard our Hall of Fame picks. You've heard our picks for the games this week. You heard us break them down and review last week. Kind of like the Chip Kelly offense. We're out of gas.
Yeah, I'm done. I gotta drive home, watch the first half of the 1 o'clock games, and then get in the car and go to Nebraska.
White knuckle flyer.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen. At least you're going to have some damn fine steak.
Yeah, again. Yay.
I'd be eating steak every day when I was out there.
I got home yesterday, and my wife goes, "We're going to have steak for dinner." I'm like,
I would have been like, really?
Can you smuggle back a cow or something? You know?
Yes, I'll smuggle back a cow. Well, I'll try my best.
You know, just fill a suitcase full of steaks and take it back. You know, one of those really steaks there.
Do me a favor. On your way back, stop in Wisconsin, get some cheese, too.
That's
what I'm going to do. And then I'll take a quick flight to Paris, and I'll get some wine, and we'll all sit like aristocrats.
No, there is a company that ships you Omaha beef, but it's very expensive, but it's very delicious.
Yeah, it's the Omaha Steaks.
Omaha Steaks, right. And it's excellent meat. I mean, all their meat is excellent. Everything they have there is excellent, but God, it's a fortune.
Really quick before we leave, at TNT Espo, at Tat, TATTTD Will, on the Twitter page, I'm rescinding the hashtag Vi4Hoff. Looking at his stats, should not be in the Hall of Fame. I only remember when he used to beat up on the Giants. Sorry, Vi. Love to love you.
You're out of it.
Anyway, that being said, we got about 2 minutes left. Tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com.
Right. That's the webpage.
You can catch us on the replays as of right now, still for the morelikeradio.com replay and the TuneIn app, the free TuneIn app for Android and iPhones.
And don't forget Ham Radio Pixie Punishment.
Yes.
At, 12, was it 12 o'clock?
We got bumped for Lou Ferrigno last week. I never thought I would say that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said to you. Like, we have to wait for Lou Ferrigno to call in.
Yeah.
That's glorious.
Confusing.
I wound up calling in right after Lou Ferrigno, but I think we're going to go back to 11 o'clock. We got to work that out with
Eddie. Will's going to have to call in again this week because I will be in transit and in the middle of training. Okay. Training purposes, so Will's gonna shoulder the load again. Shout out to Ham Radio, Uncle Eddie, and everybody there. That being said,
again, just another quick shout out for Sully again.
Yes,
check him out. Interview with country singer and songwriter David Shelby this afternoon. Excuse me.
All right,
should be a good interview. Good luck to Sully.
And if you go into the More Like Radio chat room, Sully's new name in there is She Was 18. I'm confused and I'm scared. God bless you, Sully. I'll be listening on the way home.
That was not a fake ID, Sully. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, for Will, for Joe, for myself, guys, enjoy Sunday's games. Enjoy tomorrow night's game. Enjoy the Thursday night game for week 3. We'll catch you next week. I will be here. Tattoos and touchdowns. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we'll get you next week.
Yeah.
Good day, everybody.
They are who we thought they were. We'll be right back.